Every book of God's Word reflects the same truth. God created you to love you. No matter if you've walked with God for years or are just looking into the reality of God's love, this study will deepen your hunger for this God of intense love. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, lead pastor at Pacific Baptist Church in El Segundo, California, encourages us today with the truth that God wants to bless you. So many people think of God as some celestial traffic cop waiting to blast them when they do wrong. The Bible paints a totally different picture. God is in heaven looking for men and women who want to be blessed. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis 22 as we discover five different people God blessed in this lesson and reveal their secrets to receiving God's abundant mercy and kindness in their lives.
Father, as we open your word, we're mindful again that you love us and that you created us to love us. And today, as we talk about the fact that you want to bless us, we realize that we have to accept. We have to accept the blessing. You just don't give it away to everyone. But Father, we have some responsibility as well. Help us to see how we can get all of the blessing that you want to pour upon us. As we open the Word, and then we obey the Word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I want to be very clear. God wants to bless you. God wants to pour out blessing upon you. God wants you to be blessed. A lot of people think of God like some sort of traffic cop in heaven. And there he is, and he's just waiting to blast you. He's got his radar gun, and he's just ready to, there you go, I got you, okay, and I'm going to ticket you. But the Bible paints a totally different picture of God. The picture that the Bible paints is, I'm waiting to bless you. So if you kind of think of that radar gunning, he's trying to get you. Well, in a sense, God is trying to get you, but he's trying to get you a blessing, not get you a ticket, get you a punishment. And today we want to take a look at that. But I want to be very honest from the outside. There is no cookie cutter formula for receiving blessing. All over the place I see people talk about, if you do this and this, then you'll be blessed. But the Bible talks about God being our Father. And so there isn't a formula, but there is a concept. You might want to write it in the white space of your message notes. Just a simple truth, and that is that God blesses those who obey Him. I don't know what God's going to call you to do. I don't know what God's going to call you to obey. But if you will obey, God will bless you. In fact, we're going to look at five people very quickly. And if you've been reading with us through your reading schedule and the Bible reading schedule, you know several of these people. We've read about four of them. We're going to read about the fifth one this week. If you don't have a reading schedule, let me encourage you to pick one up and get a hold of it. God wants to bless you. And the first thing that we say is, as you've been reading, is that God wanted to bless Abraham with his abundance. You remember that Abraham, one of the most powerful, most rich people in the Old Testament, eventually became that way because of the blessing of God. He obeyed God, and he was told to walk with God. And God said, I want you to leave this place. And Abraham obeyed. He said, I'm going to show you a land I want to take you to. And Abraham followed. Abraham did everything that God told him to do. And as the years passed, God continued to be with Abraham. And then finally, we read at one point that God tested Abraham. God wanted to find out if Abraham was really, really, really his. He wanted to find out, do you trust me? Now that's the question in the white space somewhere. Just write it. Do I trust God? Do I trust God? And when Abraham did what God asked him to do, God blessed him. Some of you remember the story. God said, take your son, your only son, and take him up to the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. And so he takes up his son, he takes up the fire, he takes up the wood, he heads up with his servants up to the mountain, to Mount Moriah, and he goes up there, and his son says, well, here's the wood and here's the fire, where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide. See, when we trust God, we know that what he asks us to do is a test, but God always has a provision. And so Abraham pulls out his knife after he binds his son, puts him on the fire. He's about ready to thrust the knife through his son. And the Lord said, stop, Abraham, now I know. Now I know you trust me. You've given me your only son. You've not withheld him from me. and I will bless you. And God says he will bless him abundantly with land. He will bless him abundantly with possessions. He will bless the generations after him. It's an amazing statement. He will have lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and on and on. And of course, we know that Abraham is that core line that starts out with eventually the nation of Israel. God wanted to bless Abraham. God wanted to give him abundance. But Abraham had to give up to go up. Abraham had to be willing to give what was most precious in order to receive that which is more precious. And when he did that, the Bible is very clear that God blesses. This week's been an amazing week. If you're along with us on the Daniel fast, God has been answering prayer in our lives. I hope he has been in yours too. I'm sure he has. And as I've been reading, God's been dumping out all sorts of truths and information. He's been showing me his path. And as he does that, these are just some of the blessings of God. He's been telling me what to do and where to go and how to think. And as I think about all of the things that God's been doing, there's just bunches and bunches of statements of what God's doing in and through and for me. I was thinking about Abraham. Abraham had to take a step of faith before God would take a step of blessing. Abraham had to take a step of faith before there was a step of blessing. This is just like James says. He says in chapter 4, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. In fact, in your message notes, we read, this is what the Lord says. This was after he chose to give his son to the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your beloved son, I swear by my own hand that I will bless you richly. I will multiply your descendants into countless millions, like the stars of the sky, the sand of the seashore. We can relate to that last one, can't we? They will conquer their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? It ends up by saying in your message notes, circle it, all because you have obeyed me. Obedience is the key to blessing. Obedience is the key. It's not a formula. It's a key. And as you and I walk with God, we have to choose to obey, even when God asks for the thing that's most precious. And especially then, that son, Isaac, God wanted to bless that son with his abundance. And you'll remember the story. Isaac, I often tell my students, Isaac is kind of like a placeholder. He's in between Abraham and Jacob. And you kind of wonder, what is Isaac's purpose? And eventually you come to the conclusion his purpose is to have a son named Jacob. But one of the things that we realize in the life of Isaac is Isaac was faithful to the very vision of God. Isaac kept doing what God wanted done. In fact, we read that to Isaac, God appeared twice and told him, you're my chosen one. You're the one I want to bless. You're the one that I want to help. Now, Isaac must have scratched his head. You read the story this week. Must have scratched his head, because every time Isaac set up camp, somebody got upset at him. He'd set up camp, he'd dig a well, and somebody'd say, that's our well. And they'd push him away. So he'd go and he'd set up camp again. He'd dig a well. That's our well. And they'd push him away again. Then he'd go a little further and he'd set up camp again. And he'd dig a well. And they'd say, that's our well. And they'd push him off the land again. Do you ever feel like you're getting pushed around? And you say, God, where are you? God is pushing you into his place of blessing. God is pushing you into his place of blessing. You want to be here. And God says, I don't bless there. I bless here. You say, well, I'm not going there. So you go over here. Now, you know this, right? I've done this so many times, it's like, it's a comedy, okay? And so, God, why are you giving me so much trouble? Now I get here and, God, help me, help me, God, help me, help me. And he says, I'm trying to. You're trying to get over there. But I'm having so much fun over here with all my problems and the people who are crabby and all this stuff. I'm having fun. And pretty soon they push and you go over here. And then we read, you've got your notes, would you read it out loud with me, please? Under Isaac, would you read it with me, please, from Genesis 26. Read it with me. That year, Isaac's crops were tremendous. He harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a rich man, and his wealth only continued to grow. He acquired large flocks of sheep and goats, great herds of cattle, and many servants. However, in verse 16 it says, because of the blessing, it scared the local people. And guess what they did? They pushed him again. Sometimes the blessings of God in one place doesn't mean that's where you're supposed to be. And God may push you again. What's he doing when God pushes you? He's just guiding. Now, if you knew that this was the guidance of God, you would go, okay, just show me. But you and I, we don't do that. What we say is, why is everybody always picking on me? Been there, done that, still do it. Okay. But God wanted to bless Isaac. Along the way, you remember, Isaac's wife couldn't have children. He cried out to the Lord. He waited 20 years. And finally, she had twins. The son, Jacob, was one of those people God wanted to bless. But Jacob, you remember Esau and Jacob as you read the story, and Esau was red and he had hair, and so you can call him hairy. Okay, and he was a few minutes older. If you're twins, if you know what I'm talking about, if you're the older twin, you always tell your younger twin, obey me because I'm older than you, I'm wiser than you are. But the younger one, Jacob, he's reaching, how did he get his name? The older one got his name because of his skin and his hair. But the younger one, this must have been quite painful for mom, he reached out of the womb, grabbed his brother's heel, the text tells us, as the older was being born. You ain't getting out of there without me. And they named him, are you ready for this? In the vernacular of today, they named him con man. They called him grabber. Okay? And in biblical times, this was someone who was a swindler. Okay? And so you could go around, imagine going around your whole life with the nickname, or with the name that means con man. Here I am, con man. Hi, I'm con man. Nice to meet you. And everywhere he went, everybody knew what his name meant. Names mean things in the Bible. And along the way, we find out that he's got his mother's bloodline in him. His mother's a swindler. And there's a reason for that, because that whole family's a bunch of swindlers. And Uncle Laban, mom's brother, is a swindler. And we watched that story unfold this week as you read with me. And you remember that finally Jacob swindles his older brother out of his birthright. And if you had the birthright, you got twice as much stuff. That was cool. So if there were two sons, you got two-thirds. Okay, that's always better than half. And that's always better than a third. Okay. And so then a little while longer, and he goes along, and he swindles the blessing, which means all of the promise and all of the inheritance and all of the kindness and all of the grace and the favor of God are all given to him. You read this story this week. And that got Esau's older brother upset, and his older brother decided, when my dad's dead, you're done. I'm going to kill you. And so mom says, we got to get him out of here, sends him off to Uncle Laban, who's also a swindler. You need a wife from the family. As he's traveling, God stops him. Have you ever had one of those times when things aren't going well, and you thought you were the guy, and you thought you were the lady, and things aren't going well, and there you are, and you're in the middle of nowhere, and you're just not where you thought the plans of God are, and you're just saying, God, I don't get it. And you lay your head down, and God begins to speak to you. And God spoke, and he said to Jacob, I'm with you. I'll protect you. I'll bless you, and I'll return you here safely. Jacob says, if that's true, he makes a vow. Would you read it with me out of your notes? Then Jacob made this vow. Would you read it with me? If, circle all the Fs, if God will be with me and protect me on this journey and give me food and clothing, and if he will bring me back safely to my father, then I will make the Lord my God. This memorial pillar will become a place of worshiping God, and I will give God a tenth of everything he gives me. If, God, you have to put up your part before I'm going to do mine. God, you have to deliver your promise. Now, there are all sorts of promises in this book. If you're reading with us on the reading schedule, you know that this book is filled with promises. And God says, I would like to do this, I would like to do that. But the big thing that we want to catch today is that God wants to bless us. God wants to bless us. And Jacob says, okay, if you protect me, return me, guess what? I'm with you, okay? And I'll give you 10% of everything that you give me. Now that's pretty good, think about it. If I handed you a $100 bill, you say, you know, if you give me $100, Pastor, I'll give you 10 back. If you give me another $100, I'll give you 10 more back. Now, who's going to win in this? You give me $100 and I'll give you 10 back. How many 10s would you like to give back? Some of you only want to give none. Okay? This is a no-brainer. If I give you 100 and you give me 10, what are you doing right away? You're getting change for the 100. Because you want, when you got change for the 100 to give 10 back, you got 10 10s. Because you're going to keep this up. And then you're going to say, I got another 10. You got another 100? I'll give you 10 more. Got another 100? I'll give you 10 more. Here's another 100. And God says, I hear that. 20 years pass. Turn to your neighbor and say 20 years. 20 years pass. And God blesses. God blesses. And finally, things aren't going so well with Uncle Laban because everything Jacob owns used to be Laban's. He says, it's time to go home. And God speaks. Follow along. I put it in your notes. God's not allowed him to do me any harm. For if he said, the speckled animals are mine, the whole flock produced speckled animals. And if he changed his mind and said, I could have the streaked ones, then all the lambs were born streaked. I want you to notice that even though Laban is working very high, he changed Jacob's wages 10 times because he was constantly trying to stop the blessing of God. No matter who's trying to hurt you, God, if he's with you because you are obeying him, you can't be hurt to the point where God can't bless you. Notice it says, in this way, God made him wealthy at your father's expense. And during the mating season, I had a dream and I saw the male goats mating with the flock were streaked and speckled and spotted. And then in my dream, the angel of the Lord said to me, Jacob. And I replied, yes, I'm listening. There it is. Let's all say that out loud. Yes, I'm listening. Yes, I'm listening. That's it. You've got to listen and obey. I've got to listen and obey. Whatever God tells us, I need. The path to blessing is always through obedience. If I don't know what God's going to tell you to do, and it's going to be goofy. I mean, imagine getting a knife and raising it up and sacrificing the only child you have. That's kind of goofy. Imagine you got to go 400 miles away and you got to go find your relatives and get yourself a wife over there. And by the way, we won't be at the wedding. That's kind of goofy. Yes, I'm listening. And the angel said, look, and you will see that only the streaked, speckled, spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen all that Laban has done to you. You ought to circle that, underline, highlight, put a star beside. God sees everything that's going wrong in your life and everyone who's going wrong in your life. He sees every problem you are going through. He knows what's happening in your life. Now note what he says. I am the God you met at Bethel. That was that past verse we just read. The place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made a vow to serve me. Now leave this country and return to the land you came from. You said, if I protected you, if I watched over you, that I'd be your God, that you would worship me, and that you'd give me 10% of everything I gave you. Now look at all of Laban's stuff you own. A lot of lambs. I can do math. There's a lot of sheep here. I can do math. There's a lot of rams. I can do math. There's a lot of servants. I can do math. Just come home. I've got you covered. The path to blessing is always through obedience. Sometime later, God wanted to bless Joseph with abundance. Many, many years later. Jacob's son, Joseph. You remember this story. He's because he's the special favored last born child walking around. I got dreams, you don't, you're all going to bow down to me, I'm wonderful. You remember all that? That kind of irritated the other brothers, and so they decided, they created a little plan, they sold him into slavery. You remember he went into slavery, he goes into slavery, God is with him, he's in the house of Potipharah, and he's there, he's doing wonderful things, and the wife wants to sleep with him. He says, no, I can't do that. He becomes the first streaker in the Bible. He runs out without his garment. She holds his garment. She's upset because he rejected her. Goes to the husband, says, he tried to rape me. Husband's incensed. Throws him in prison. Bible says God is with him. He becomes the leader in the prison, taking care of all the things. And then a series of events sets up God in charge. And in the series of events, you remember the series of events? A couple guys displeased Pharaoh. They had dreams. Joseph interpreted the dreams. The dreams came true. The one that was still alive went back to Pharaoh. And Joseph said, don't forget me. Tell Pharaoh my story. Get me out of here. I haven't done anything wrong. And you remember he gets back to Pharaoh and totally forgets him. You feel forgotten? You feel trapped? Feel like maybe you're in some pain in prison? Maybe your relatives kicked you out. Maybe they don't love you anymore. Maybe there's nowhere to go. I don't know your situation exactly, but I do know this. God's watching. And as God watches, God wants to bless. And then finally, Pharaoh has a dream. And Pharaoh has this dream, and he dreams about these cows, fat ones, skinny ones, ones who climb on rocks. Okay, now, that last part's not true. And in the process, oh, I remember now, there was a guy in prison, and he does dreams, and blah, 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 and so bring him up here. And so they bring the smelly up Joseph without shaving, all, and he stinks, and they bring him up here, and of course at a distance. He said, I understand, you can interpret dreams. He said, God interprets dreams. He said, well, here's my dream, blah, blah, blah. And he says, this is the way it is, and this is what you should do. And you should appoint somebody over the land, and we should save the nation. Pharaoh says, I like that, I like that, I like that, you're in charge. Do you remember that? I just want to stop here and say, I don't know what path God took you on. Remember Isaac constantly getting pushed around? Here's Joseph constantly going through injustice after injustice after injustice. This is not the abundant life God promised me. Joseph must have thought several times. And yet, he got free transportation, free room and board. He was in the exact spot. Remember what I said? If you want blessing, you got to be in the spot of blessing. What was the spot of blessing? He had to, 2 years before, he had to be in prison so that he could get access to the king. You think a Jew could have gotten access to the king of Egypt any other way? No, probably not. And God says, I know what I'm doing. And he just moved him through a series of unkind events to a place where all the way through, Joseph trusted God. He just kept trusting God, and God kept blessing him where he was. And as God blessed him where he was, eventually that moment came along and God said, there it is, thank you, you're in the right place, plop. And then he made him prime minister number two in Egypt, saved the nation, saved the nations around them. Now that's abundance. You remember he got wives and he got houses and he got all his power and got everything everybody wants. And then his brothers came, thinking he was dead. And through a series of a little bit of drama, it's okay if you have a little drama, it's okay. Okay, you can have a little fun with your relatives if they were bad, or the people who were bad, it's okay, you can have a little fun. Okay, and he did. And then they realized, we're in trouble. I put in your message notes, many years later, Joseph is explaining to these brothers now who are afraid of his retribution. Dad's died, afraid of the retribution. And they say to Joseph, after the shield of Dad is gone because he's dead, so we, the servants of God, our Father, beg you to forgive us. When Joseph received the message, he broke down and wept. And then his brothers came and they bowed low before him. And they said, we are your slaves. Well, of course, everybody's a slave to Joseph in Egypt because he's number two in the country. And they said, but Joseph told them, don't be afraid of me. Now listen, am I God to judge and punish you? As far as I am concerned, God turned into good what you meant for evil. He brought me to the high position I have today so I could save the lives of many people. No, Don't be afraid of me. Indeed, I myself will take care of you and your families. And he spoke very kindly to them, reassuring them. In your prison, in your pain, in your problem, God watches. And if you haven't gotten the abundance of God yet, trust him. Trust him. He's just moving you. He's positioning you. Think of a ginormous temporal chessboard with all of the people and the places on the earth on it. And God is just moving things around. And in the right time, he will move you to the place he needs to. But you have to be like Joseph and trust him. You need to trust him when you're headed to Egypt. You need to trust him when you're in the house of a stranger making money for someone else. You need to trust him when you're unjustly accused. You need to trust him when you're in a prison of pain. Because God never misses you if you will obey him all along the way. The path to blessing is always obedience. It's always obedience. You see, that's what Jesus was trying to tell us in John 10:10. John 10:10, Jesus said, my purpose is to give you life and to give you life in all its fullness. He wants to give you an abundant life. Now, you and I, sometimes we have our own dreams of what the abundant life looks like. We think it's Palos Verdes and a nice home overlooking the ocean so we can see Catalina Island on a clear day. Or maybe it's Beverly Hills, where all of our expenses are paid and we drive around in a Bugatti. And God says, no, that's not abundance. That's earthly wealth. I want to give you something better. I want to give you the purpose of your life. I want you to fulfill the destiny I've created you to be. In fact, in your notes, would you read it out loud with me, please? Ephesians 3:20. Paul explains this when he says, now glory be to God, read it out loud, by his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever dare to ask or hope. Would you circle that phrase, infinitely more? God has so much more for you than you could ever dare to ask or hope. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bless my life. But in order to bless our lives, you and I have to walk the path of God's blessing. We just have to. Now, there's all sorts of preachers and all sorts of television teachers who are going around and telling you that since you're saved, God's just going to dump a blessing on you. And it's true that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Absolutely true. And when you get to heaven, you get those. But if you want the blessing of God now, we have to walk the path of obedience. There's an old song, you remember it, Phil? Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, where did that idea come from for that song? It came out of the scriptures. Evangelifish theology wants to tell you that you don't have to give up to go up, that you don't have to draw near for God to draw near to you. But that's just not biblical. We've seen it through the lives of these five people. You see, in order to gain the blessings of God, you and I have to want God, the God of the blessings. It's not about the blessings, it's about the blessor. I have a great marriage. Why do I have a great marriage? Because I don't worry about my marriage. I don't worry about my marriage. I just spend time with my wife. I love my wife. See, if I have a great time with my wife, my marriage is fine. If I'm worried about my marriage, I might not want to work out with my wife. I might not even enjoy my wife. So many people come to me and say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. My relationship with my wife isn't too good. My relationship with my husband isn't so good. And the first question I always ask him is this, do you like them? Do you like to spend time with them? I would rather go shopping. You've heard me say this time and time again. I'd rather go shopping with my wife. Men don't like shopping. I'd rather go shopping with my wife than be at home without her. I love my wife. You see, in order to gain the blessings of God, you and I must trust the God of the blessings. God has a plan. I don't know the plan. I don't know the plan for my life. I don't know the plan for your life. But God has a plan for your life. I don't know what it is. But I have to do what God tells me to do. You have to do what God tells you to do. If you want the blessing of God, I want the blessing of God, I have to obey. For Abraham, it was his total obedience to the difficult request of sacrificing his son that demonstrated his blessing, his trust in God, the blesser. You and I, we have to trust God. We have to trust God. And so for Abraham, okay, Lord, I will take my son. There's no delay. I will take my son and I will obey. I know you'll provide. And God provided. For Isaac, it was his absolute submission to God's difficult direction. Just go and keep getting pushed around. Keep getting pushed around, but keep moving. Keep trusting. Well, I thought this is, you said to Dad that we were going to get the whole land. You told me we're going to get the whole land. How come I have to keep moving? It's my land. Move. 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 And everywhere he went, as he would obey, God would bless. And God would bless. And God would bless. For Jacob, it's the trust in the long-term faithfulness. If you will watch over me. If you will protect me. If you will bring me back safe. You will be my God. I want to see the long term. And God remembered that promise. He said, okay, I remember the promise you made me 20 years ago. I'm calling the chip in. Did you make a promise to God years ago? Maybe you ought to just write it down real quick. Right there in the white space. What did you promise God you haven't done yet? Maybe he's calling the chip in today. Okay? For Joseph, it's the utter reliance in God's all-knowing wisdom that demonstrated his trust in God. Even when he was a slave, even when he was in prison, he trusted God, he worshipped God, he didn't let go of God, he didn't change his routine. He prayed, he trusted, he prayed, he trusted, he told people. He was a good sport, he didn't have a nasty attitude. He went around, he was good-natured. And he rose to that place when God opened the door. We've been doing the 21 days of fasting, and if you haven't been fasting with us, let me encourage you to do so. There's a booklet out in the back. Let me encourage you to join us in 21 days of fasting. God's been doing some amazing things. God's opened doors. God's provided wisdom. God's provided finances this week. Hey, I even got my new health care. Couldn't get it done. Then I started fasting, and guess what? Bang! I got the receipt. Finally, you know the hardest thing about the new healthcare plan is getting the bill. Tabitha hasn't gotten hers yet. Okay? Is getting the bill so you can pay it. That's the hardest plan, part of this new thing, is just get the bill. You wait, you wait, you wait, you wait. Because so many people signed up, they're waiting, waiting, waiting. I just said, Lord, I need the bill so I can pay the bill. And guess what? It came in the mail. Okay? Let me encourage you. I don't know what you're asking God for, but let me just encourage you to join us in fasting and prayer. The fast is simple. It's no bread, no meat. No wine, no sweets for 3 weeks. That's all it is. I encourage you to join us. You see, Joseph, he's just relying on the wisdom of God. He's trusting God. He knew that God was in control. He knew God was blessing him. He knew God hadn't forgotten him. Even though he was in the prison, God reassured him time and time again, I've got you covered. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to gain the blessings of God? Are you ready to gain the blessings of God? Let me encourage you next week. I'm going to talk about working with God. Working with God. So that you and I can get future blessings. Not just today, not just this week, but future blessings. We're going to talk about that whole idea next week. Bring a friend. Bring a family member. And be a part of this. We're going to deal with this. Now, I have to believe that somewhere along in this message, God has been talking to you about something. Because the pathway to blessing is the pathway of obedience. I don't know what God's been telling you to do that you've held back from, but I'm going to encourage you right now. I'm going to encourage you right now to think about that for just a moment. Might be a relationship that needs fixing. Might be some place you don't want to go that you don't, maybe like Jacob, some place you didn't want to live. By the way, in that whole story of Jacob, remember, and going and to Uncle Laban and getting a wife? Mom said, and when your brother isn't mad enough to kill you anymore, I'll send for you. And if you read the story with us this week, you know Mom never sent for him. Okay? Mom never sent for him. Okay? Because the anger never went away. But God said, it's time to go now. I'll protect you. God will protect you. Maybe it's a job you don't want. Working for a con man like Uncle Laban. Oh, mercy. Maybe it's slavery like Joseph. I don't know what it is, but you know what it is, and you just need to trust. Trust God in the middle of it, and obey Him, and do what He tells you to do. I'm so excited about what God's doing. I'm so excited about how God's speaking to me. I'm so excited about what God can do for you. But I'm going to ask you right now just to stand just to stand. And let's all just stand. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to talk to God while you're standing. So let's all stand. And I just want you to take a moment and talk to God and tell Him, I don't know what He spoke to you about during the message. I don't know what He's been speaking to you about during the week. But would you just take a moment and say, God, there's some commitments, some things I haven't been doing that I need to trust You and obey. Would you do that right now? Father, like You said to Abraham in Genesis 22:1, sometime later, You tested him. Father, You're always checking to see if we're willing to trust and obey. And this morning, Father, as we depend upon You, as we trust You, we've made some commitments of things that You, we believe You are telling us to do. And Father, we know that You are with us because You love us. Oh, how You love us. And Father, this morning, whether You show up in 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 years, we're going to trust You to do that which You have promised. Just like Abraham believed You, that You were able to do what You promised. And Father, right now we commit ourselves to that one thing or those couple things that we've told You that we're going to do and we're going to keep doing, trusting You until You come around and bless us. Lord, we thank You. We praise You for Your word. We praise You for the fact that You love us. Oh, Father, how You love us. And You want to bless us. And Lord, we want to be blessed. Help us never to forget today that the path of blessing is the path of obedience. If we want obedience, we need to walk the path of blessing. If we want blessing, we need to walk the path of obedience. Help us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.
Would you like to help spread the word? Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you for your consideration. If you would like to explore how you can experience the love of God in a deeper, more real way, Dr. Smith has written a book to take you to that next level. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page. Never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us, by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. This book was written to convince the reader of God's intense and immense love for them, to encourage the reader to reach out to the God who is passionately in love with them, to strengthen the reader's faith in God's compassion, and to motivate the reader to share the love of God with every person they meet. It is very clear God loves people of all races and ethnicities. Therefore, whenever appropriate to the passage of the day, emphasis is made on the issue of racial reconciliation around God's love. His love becomes the motivation for evangelism and for community. In each daily devotional, there is a biblical scripture that they are encouraged to read. There is a passage of scripture to read in the devotional itself. There is a devotional to read which focuses the reader on a single thought, broken into two, three, or four practical ideas they can utilize that day in their lives, and there's a thought to take with the reader each day which summarizes the theme concerning God's great love for them. You can order a copy of In His Image at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in El Segundo, California, and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Los Angeles, California. And now until next time, I'm your host, Mike Powers, telling you we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.